Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. The 2025 Canadian Grand Prix roars to life June 13th through 15th at Montreal's iconic Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, marking round 10 of the F1 season. This fan-favorite track is known for its high-speed straights, heavy braking zones, and the infamous Wall of Champions. With unpredictable weather and low downforce demands, it's a circuit where anything can happen, and often does.
McLaren heads to Montreal with momentum as Oscar Piastri leads the championship just 10 points ahead of teammate Lando Norris after an impressive 1-2 finish in Barcelona. Meanwhile, Max Verstappen enters under pressure after a series of unfortunate events at the last Grand Prix, caused by him losing all perspective and lashing out, trademark George Russell, still sitting in third in the standings, but 49 points behind and just one penalty point away from an automatic race ban. Could tempers flare again?
Keep an eye on Lewis Hamilton, too. The seven-time winner at this circuit will be looking to rebound after a tough weekend in Spain. With Red Bull scrambling, Ferrari searching for consistency, and midfield teams like Racing Bulls and Sauber on the rise, Canada promises tight battles, bold strategy calls, and maybe a few surprises. Get ready. Montreal always delivers. Ina, who do you have sitting on pole in Montreal?
Before we get to our predictions, I would be remiss if I did not mention that this will be the first Canadian Grand Prix that I will be watching in full. Last year, I missed the race itself, but was still present to witness the reactions of what happened, especially to Ferrari. As a reminder, the Ferrari drivers, Leclerc and Sainz at the time, did not get to Q3 and then ended up not finishing the race. It was their worst race in 2024. To set the stage of how I experienced Canadian Grand Prix, I was in Malta, sitting in a restaurant, not realizing there was a TV hooked up way above my head. It was on silent, so I didn't hear anything. And the only thing I saw is various waiters coming by the table and looking up at the TV, and the horror on their faces told me everything I needed to know. Since Malta is so close to Sicily, which is part of Italy, I assumed there are a lot of tifosi. And these waiters were tifosi fans since we were in an Italian restaurant. Seeing constant look of horror as they came around was replaced by one waiter literally putting his hand over his face. And me realizing this is not good. So I didn't even want to know the results. So, of course, a very helpful dinner companion decided to tell me, "Oh, did you know there is a F1 race going on?" And I said, "I don't want to know." She's like, "Well, Max Verstappen is leading." And I'm like, "I don't want to know." And she's like, "Something happened to Ferrari." I never wanted or could force myself to watch it, even though I heard that it was an amazing race.
It's always a good race. And last year, I was a Mercedes fan. It was a particularly great race because at the time, Russell and Hamilton finished third and fourth.
Well, funny you should mention Mercedes, because my pick for pole position this time around is George Russell. Now, it
What?
is not that outlandish. He was on pole position last year in Canada. So there's precedent. He has been equaling Max's time all weekend in Barcelona. He deserves some love after some of the lashing out that he received in Barcelona. Granted, it really didn't cause permanent damage and left him quite high up in the rankings. But I think my main reason is kind of silly and not Formula One related. So this past weekend, we observed one of the greatest matches in tennis, and we always say tennis and Formula One worlds collide. And this is considered the best match ever in the French Open. So you can imagine my surprise when, of all the celebrities they kept showing at the stadium for the match, they
George
showed
Russell.
George Russell. Not only that, but he stayed for the entire match. Now, the match went on for 5.5 hours, and I'm sure his seats were super comfortable. But that amount of dedication was fabulous. During the Imola weekend, there was a Rome Open, and we were joking about how Jannik Sinner's brother chose to attend the Grand Prix as opposed to watch his brother in the finals. His brother still was not in the stands to watch him in the finals, and there was no Grand Prix weekend for him to use an excuse. Oops. And as evidence number one, there was George Russell. Whether it translates into anything on track, that's the reason he's my pole sitter for this race.
Okay. Well, he's had a great season, minus the last few races. But overall, I'd say this has been a pretty solid year for him. This is not so exciting, but I've got Oscar Piastri on pole.
You actually want something to deliver. I can't blame you.
I have thrown out some pretty bold predictions for pole in the past two races. I believe I had George last time and Pierre Gasly the weekend before. I'm going to try reality versus hope and see what happens. But I'm going to put Oscar on pole.
Very solid. Makes perfect sense. So my P3, guess who? George Russell. I think he's not going to stay at the top, not necessarily because somebody's going to get him in turn one, although that could definitely happen. But based on the triple header, Mercedes doesn't really have the pace. So he's going to fall away because I feel generous. He really wooed me with his French Open match attendance. I'm going to give him P3.
If he's going to make the podium, it will be in three. I don't see him rocketing to first or second. I agree with you. And my P3, I am actually going to pull an Ina and put Charles Leclerc.
You know what? As always, I love your predictions when Charles Leclerc is higher than where I would put him. I always want them to come true. I would be very happy, especially would be such justice from last Canadian Grand Prix.
P2, I have Lando. You're going to be happy because I do not have Max in my top three.
Well, too bad. He might be in my top three, but...
All right, so who do you have in P2?
That's a tough choice because I was going to put Lando. So I'm going to put Oscar Piastri as my two.
Okay.
I do think McLaren is going to be good. They're good in on every track. But I do think in this race, no matter where they finish, Oscar is going to be ahead of Lando. So that's why I'm putting Oscar in P2.
Okay.
And you're going to be shocked in my P1. Max Verstappen.
What?
Because, yes.
Tina, wow.
Yeah, I went,
okay.
Listen, I don't want this to happen. And as you know, usually what happens is I put him on the podium, he didn't make it. But no, in all, it's going to be such a fascinating weekend because he either going to be cautious because he doesn't want an extra penalty point, but it's not his nature. I don't think he will be. Again, I don't think he was going to pull the same move as he did on Russell in Barcelona, but it doesn't mean he's not going to push people off the track. He has to have revenge. And the best revenge he can possibly muster is to beat freaking George Russell, who started on pole. And the third thing is he would want to prove that he can win without relying on dirty tricks. I don't know if you follow what's happening with iRacing, but Max has a team in iRacing.
Oh, yes, I have been.
Yeah, and so the team, not Max directly, but the team exploited a very interesting lapse in the rules to try to, I mean, cheat is a strong word, but they tried to extend or stretch the rule further than it was intended to get an advantage for their team. So I think, again, all of this is going to fuel Max to be like, look, you think I cannot win just based on my talent? Watch my freaking talent. So for all those reasons, I'm putting him in P1.
I am not going to disagree with anything about his talent or the tear he is probably going to go on. I have had a similar thought. Is he going to be cautious? Because he has to wait until Silverstone for that point to roll off, or not. And I agree with you. I just don't think it's in his nature not to be aggressive and try to win, because there's been rumors afloat saying that if he wins his fifth championship, he'll hang it up and retire after this year if he gets the championship. And since he has the platinum license through FIA to open him up for other races and formulas, I could see it happening.
Me
So,
too.
you know, I mean, it could happen. I do not have Max on the podium. I am going to keep Oscar and have him convert pole to P1.
I just want to say I do love your predictions and I hope they come true.
It's very cliche. The only other P3s I've had have, well, I threw out a pretty wild one in Monaco. Aside from that, it's either been Russell or Charles, I feel like, outside of the usual suspects.
Okay,
I
fair.
don't know. We'll see.
Well, I've
Though,
never predicted Russell on the podium, so
you
we'll
have
see how
not.
that works.
Nope, I've predicted him at pole and on the podium. I have never properly predicted Russell, so we'll see if you have the magic touch to get him in one of those spots.
I also never correctly predicted Max, so just wanted to throw it out there.
That's true too, in all fairness. So what does Ferrari do, Ina?
As much as I would love for Leclerc to end up on the podium, close to the podium, since I put my boy, Lando, not on the podium. Again, not necessarily what I want to see happen. I'll give him P4.
Okay.
Because that McLaren is a beast.
Yeah.
And then I guess Charles is P5.
Okay.
I honestly don't know what to do with Lewis. It's the crapshoot at this point.
I mean, I think he'll be in the top 10.
Exactly. I don't think this track is great for Ferrari. So let's put him P7.
Okay. So then who do you have in P6?
I think Hedger
Okay.
may have a good race. Let's put him 6th. I did
All
Lewis
right.
7th.
Round
Who
out
do
your
I...
8th, 9th, and 10th.
All right. Alpine wasn't bad last year. They are horrible this year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think both Gasly and Ocon got points.
That is
And
correct. Gasly was 9th, Ocon was 10th.
I'm going to do Ocon 8. Also, I believe Aston Martin did really well.
They did.
But
They
then
were
I don't know what's
6th and
going on with...
7th last year. But we don't
All
even
right.
know if Stroll's going to race. We'll talk about that in a
Right.
little bit.
So let's do Alonso 9.
Okay.
And you know what? I know, like, I'm giving up on Kimi.
Well, you
But
have Haas. They actually did pretty well last year.
All right.
They were close to the points. You can do
I'm going
your
to give
other
him
team.
10.
Okay.
What about
So,
you?
all right. Just to confirm for you. So you have George Russell on pole. Max, Oscar, George, Lando, Charles, Isaac, Lewis, Esteban, Fernando, Kimi.
Yes.
Okay. Locking it in.
Sure. But you haven't even
Great.
started giving us your Ferrari prediction or anything else in the top 10.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, let's talk about what I'm going to do. I already put Charlotte 3. So I've got
Fantastic.
Ferrari on the podium. I think Lewis is still going to struggle a bit, unfortunately, until either they change his engineer or they bring the upgrades to Silverstone. But I think he's still going to get points. I'm torn between 6th, 7th, and 8th for him.
Well, who's you going to have put as 4?
I have Oscar, Lando, Charles. I was going to put Max at 4 because I do agree with you. I think Max is going to be up there. He just gets that Red Bull, you know, places where no one was expecting it. And then I would put Russell at 5.
You're putting them next to each other. Good luck of them not tussling.
Well, you know, I don't know. I like the catchphrase. He tussled with Russell. I think that is just as catchy as the rain in Spain, since Russell likes to be the weatherman and the car.
But as I said, Russell wooed me and you gave him the worst position possible off the podium and behind Max, which, by the way, I did that too. Also, I put him on the podium, but at least I gave him pole position.
I know this is going to be an interesting race. This is horrible of me to do to Lewis, to have Max, George, Lewis. Because that is really not how I would want it to turn out, but I'm trying to keep reality in front of, you know,
Hopium.
Hopium. Because I'd really love it to be like Ferrari 3-4. I just don't see Ferrari doing 3-4. I will have more hope at Silverstone, but Lewis has won this track a lot. Actually, I'm going to go on Hopium this time. So
Okay.
scrap it. I'm going to do Charles 3. Lewis 4, Max, George. I'm going to give Fernando a little bit of a bump because he got his points. I think he's going to have some momentum. I'm going to do Fernando in 7, Hadjar 8, Gasly 9, And then I'll do Ocon 10.
Oh, you don't even have Antonelli in the points. Awesome.
Nope. I'm going to keep Antonelli out of the points.
Brutal.
It is a little brutal. I mean, I'm still, cheering for Mercedes a little bit, but okay. So, what is or what would be your best of the rest? Give us a wild prediction for the midfield.
I mean, I know I've done it before, but I really want to see it. Colapinto in Q2. Come on. It's gotta happen sometime. I mean, I almost put Behrman in Q2 because I don't remember the last time that happened with all his, I mean, he's made it to Q2, but with all his penalties or whatever, it just, you seem to forget. But I think Colapinto in Q2, again, because they were good last year, Q2 would be a win.
If that could happen, I would say yes, that is a win. My best of the rest wild prediction will be that Hulkenberg finishes right outside of the points at P11 and gets the Sauber further than it should be again.
Isn't that where he finished last year?
Oh, I don't know. Is it?
I think he was 11th.
Oh.
I know he and Magnussen won one
Hang
after
on.
another.
Let me look this up.
Yeah, look
Oh,
it
you're
up.
right. All right. Well, then I'm going to say when he was in a Haas. So Hulkenberg and a Haas finished 11. I'm going to say Hulkenberg and a Sauber will finish 11.
Always a bridesmaid, never the bride, never on the podium, and not in the points.
I'm not getting quite bold enough that he actually gets a podium. Although at some point, you would think that would have happened by now. But I just am going to say he's just going to keep up the longest run of no podium.
Unfortunately, that's what it looks like now.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Well, we'll see what happens. So Calipinto in Q2 and Hulkenberg holds year over year. Different car, same position, P11.
I'm sure he won't have PTSD after that.
Sorry, Nico. Don't hold it against me. It's your car, not you. All right. We did not spill the grid in the last episode. There has been quite a bit of off-track drama, which is leading us to think that this is going to be a very silly of silly seasons coming up over the summer break. We will start with George Russell, whose contract is up at the end of the year with Mercedes. George removed the Mercedes AMG F1 Instagram handle from his profile bio, sparking rumors that he will not be renewing his contract with the team, leading us to ask the question, where will he go? Cadillac? Maybe Alpine? Even Aston Martin? What's your take, Ina?
I think you're right. This is very silly. It's of the silliest things you can think of. But on the other hand, there's no way this happened without ramifications. And George is very savvy, especially on social media. So I think he knows what he's doing. As much as I showed him a lot of love in this episode, he has such an ego. He thinks so highly of himself, probably a little bit disproportionate to where he is in terms of popularity. I think that's a sign to Mercedes that, hey, I'm wanted. So if you don't shape up and give me, I have options. My problem is with the choices that you mentioned. Toto will go, so what? Because none of these options are better than Mercedes. I mean, Cadillac, it's, I think, the worst option of the three because, well, they're going to be new. They're unproven. So they're not going to have an engine until, I might be wrong, but I think 2028, 2029. So that is all kind of a gamble for somebody who has to stay in F1 or their career is over, which is not where I think George's is. Alpine is a disaster. Just the fact that he would have to deal with Flavio Briatore is a double-edged sword. They are going to have Mercedes power unit, I believe, after this year, which can only make that car better because a lot of people think the reason they're so poor is because of the Renault power unit that they're discontinuing. Again, that team is extremely dysfunctional. They're very low in the standings. And at best, they're going to be the Mercedes customer team, but they're not at the McLaren level who can actually exceed a works team like Mercedes to perform the best that they could.
I would add on to that one of the other rumors that has been swirling quite a bit, and we have brought it up a couple times. The performance at Red Bull, Christian Horner, the circumstance surrounding his former assistant hasn't been settled yet. There has been clamping down internally on his power and his ability, and he built the team from the ground up. There have been, I think, as we said before, a very far-fetched rumor of him going to Ferrari or Ferrari inquiring if he'd be interested in a move. I don't see that. There's also talk of him maybe going to Alpine. He could have equity in the team, he could build it up. So if you have a Horner move to Alpine, does that make it any more enticing for Russell?
No, because I think he's programmed to hate Horner from his Mercedes days. And I don't necessarily think that Horner rates him highly, but granted, all I have going is quotes from Drive to Survive. In the episode of the newest season that focused on George, there's a scene of GP and Christian Horner discussing Russell, and Horner takes out his old chestnut. He makes too many mistakes. When dollars and cents are brought into an equation, it doesn't really matter. I think definitely Horner being with Alpine makes it more likely that Alpine will shape up. However, Horner brings a lot of toxicity with him. So does George want to deal with it? And even if, let's say, it's a match made in heaven and Alpine is the second coming of Red Bull, Horner didn't develop that Red Bull in a year.
No, it took time.
It took, yeah, I think it took at least
Years.
6 years, yeah, or
Years.
something like
Yeah.
that. So I just think, yeah, it's still too much of a work in progress. Aston Martin is actually the best possibility of the three because you have Honda engine, which has been proven to work.
Right.
You have Adrian Newey, who is tempering expectations, but hey, he's a genius. You can never bet against him. The only thing is, I have a theory, and it might be a conspiracy theory. This Aston Martin is doing this or spreading these rumors to scare Toto into signing George so they can have free rein to lure Max to Aston Martin. So I don't believe they're genuinely interested in George.
That could be because that would be a tactic that a team would deploy. However, there are louder and louder critics saying how Lance is the worst driver on the grid. And part of it's his attitude. He doesn't act like he wants to be there, doesn't seem to enjoy it. And that's really difficult, that father-son dynamic. The fact that his dad bought the team to win a championship together. But at some point, talk about dollars and cents. Lance had surgery on his wrist because he's been having complications and pain in his hand from his 2023 surgery. You know, is that the elegant out for Papa Stroll to make a change or the team or for Lance to bow out, even though Lance has said his goal is to be back this weekend to drive? I don't know. I really think there will be a shakeup. I would not be surprised if at some point the really difficult decision has to be made to change out the driver. You have Fernando Alonso, who's committed through the end of 2026. And then if you turn over both drivers, you know, what does that look like? Because if Aston really wants to be a player, they are unfortunately going to have to make Lance the reserve driver so he's still with the team. So when the team does win, you know, he's still technically a champion. Or do you have a situation where your number one driver is so strong, it's like Max carrying the entire team, then it doesn't really matter. So I don't know. But
Well, I just want to say one thing since we were still talking about George Russell and Aston Martin. Did you know that he and Lance Stroll have a history? And apparently it comes from their earlier career. I don't know too many specifics, but there are certain points where Lance would get seats that George thought were his because of his father's involvement. But in terms of F1, George was supposed to be in Racing Point at one point.
Was that before it went into administration?
When the Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
So he was lining it up for that seat. And the only reason he got Williams seat is because Lance went with his
With
papa
Racing Point, yeah.
into Racing Point, and that's
Right.
the Frida. So there's history, and so that's interesting. Another thing you mentioned about Lance not being as engaged. There was a video that was dropped. It's in the spirit of Behind the Grid, but it was actually about their red flags. It was cute, but some of it was, you know, a little too staged. But Lance seemed natural. He smiled. He spoke quite a bit. So I do think a lot of his disengagement is his being uncomfortable in front of the camera, which I cannot blame him for.
No, I can't either. I would be so awkward in front of a camera.
Right. And then he's also being an introvert, which brings all these anxiety moments, I'm sure, when you are under the microscope and expected to behave and perform in a certain way, and he just doesn't have a personality for it. So I feel like he gets a little bit of a bum rap that way. Granted, his performance on the track, we've seen worse drivers. How about that?
True.
But he's not great. And he is probably not long for Aston Martin. What surprises me is that he is rushing to come back from this latest setback, which I think is horrible for his health, not to mention what it means for his racing. To me, I think there's still this need, whether it's driven by his father or himself, that he needs to be in Formula One, and this is the way that they're going to do it. I grant you, Fernando has a contract through 2026, and I do believe he's not going to extend it beyond that. If they want Max, I have a feeling as long as Papa Stroll is still the owner of that team, they're trying to fill Fernando's seat and not Lance's.
I guess we will see. But so my question for you is, if Lance does not race this weekend,
he
there
will.
Have been, okay, well, if he does not, I know you're convinced he will, but if he does not, names that have come up other than their reserve driver, Drukovic, who was also dubbed maybe one of the unluckiest drivers in F1. Valtteri Bottas's name has come up. He's a reserve driver for a number of teams. However, if he would drive, he would still have to serve out a 5-place grid penalty from Abu Dhabi 2024. So I'm not quite sure how likely that would be, but you're convinced Lance is going to drive.
Well, if I gave odds, I would say 95% he's going to drive, 5% he won't. I also think in that 5% is something akin to what happened in Spain, where he drives all the sessions, but he can't make the race. And now they wasted a session where they could have put a reserve driver or anyone else to try it out. I don't see Valtteri. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't see him filling in. Although, good thing that you reminded me about the 5-place grid penalty, because that is a liability. There's no way he's qualifying that car in top 10.
No.
So that's already puts him at the back of the grid. So at that point, you might as well get Lance to drive it. Drukovic, just one thing, never actually was an F1. The man has just been wasted for so long. But I think he's the most likely, as long as they're realistic, how likely it is that Lance can do it. But I feel with everything we've seen happening over the weekend in Barcelona and everything that Aston Martin is putting out now, I don't see him not racing, even if he's not ready. And I'm not saying they necessarily rush him if he's physically cannot get into the car or out of the car by himself, which I think is the ultimate test. But I think he's going to be pushing the risk to have further complications, which is absolutely unnecessary.
It is. I wish they would just make the decision to make him sit it out. I know it's his home Grand Prix and he wants to race, but in the long run, I don't think it's worth it. Speaking of individuals that might potentially at some point miss, although this is a little different because I'm going to make the assumption Verstappen gets another penalty point and he is out for a race. Red Bull has requested the FIA grant a super license for Arvid Lindblad if Max Verstappen does get his race ban.
Quick question on that.
Yeah.
So I got that they asked for his super license. I don't think they're planning to put him in Red Bull, right? Wouldn't they just put him in Racing Bulls and get Hadjar into Red Bull to substitute for Max?
I heard they could either promote Lawson or Hadjar to replace Max.
They are not promoting Lawson again.
I didn't think so. But those were the two names that I saw to fill in for Max.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely going to be Hadjar. And I know that Nico Rosberg, for instance, has advised him to say no, like that's ever going to be happen.
I hope he stays at Racing Bulls. That second seat is just tough. I did see someone say, wouldn't it be wonderful if they brought Daniel Ricciardo back?
It would be, but they won't.
I know. I know. That would be very unlikely. One more for you. Back to your boy, Kimi Antonelli. Did you know that his contract automatically extends to 2028 if Mercedes are P4 in the constructor standings before Silverstone? Currently, the Silver Arrows are in third place, making it highly likely that Kimi is staying on at Mercedes.
So are you saying they have to be P4 or above?
Or above.
Meaning P3. Okay, got it. I think he's saying no matter what, Toto put so much effort into getting him to Formula One, into this Mercedes seat. He is not going to give up that easily. He still believes he's the second coming of Max Verstappen. I mean, Verstappen had his moments when he started. So although he didn't start in Red Bull, so at least he got some experience in a less of a pressure seat. But I'm not surprised. And I think this contract was probably written with the intention that we want him for the long term. So it's not surprising at all.
I would make that assumption. Although, speaking of the second coming of Max Verstappen, I am still holding on to the possibility that if George does leave, Max goes to Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. And I think you and Toto have the same delusion. So it's real. It's definitely real. On a silly note, there was another development where Charles Leclerc's older brother, Lorenzo, got married last Friday. And during the celebratory weekend, Charles, his girlfriend, and his other brother, Arthur, went to a restaurant. There's a video of Charles leaving the restaurant in a Ferrari, of course he would, forgetting something. Aaron, do you want to guess what he forgot?
He forgot his brother.
That is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That.
It was just amazing because he and his girlfriend are leaving the restaurant. They're all smiley. The valet brings the Ferrari. He gets in. He goes off. And literally a minute later, poor Arthur is coming out very confused, looking for the car. And then you see the same Ferrari coming back. How do you
that
forget a brother?
That was funny. Apparently, even F1 drivers get flustered by the media at times.
Sure. Well, our Canadian Grand Prix predictions are in. I'm still holding out hope that Aaron's predictions come true because I put mine together with a wink and a smile.
You put yours together with a wink and a smile. I put mine together with a little bit of hope and realism.
I would say 2/3 realism for sure.
My realism outweighed my hope this go around because the reverse has not worked out so well for me the past couple of race weekends. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
We'd also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your dream Canadian Grand Prix pole sitter. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.